to begin at the beginning.
The famous opening lines of the play Under Milkwood capture perfectly the revolutionary character of Dylan Thomas's work. To begin at the beginning is not simply a direction, but a challenge to see language in a completely new way.
The cobble streets silent and the hunched quarters and rabbit's wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow-black, fishing boat bobbing sea.
Thomas's writing is dense and playful, full of strange word combinations that often resemble music more than poetry.
He deliberately engineers his poems, as it were, to get down underneath the surface of the conscious mind, to hit you almost in the body. He uses alliteration, he uses word music, he has chiming vowels. He gets you really in the same way that nursery rhymes do.
Leading Thomas expert, Professor John Goodby, says the poems work on many different levels, allowing readers to find their own meanings.
The instinctual reading for Thomas is just as valid as the more intellectual one that he's put in there. He doesn't patronise, he's not a snob, he doesn't talk down to his readership, and I think that's one of the things that endears him to people.
Thomas was born in the city of Swansea to middle-class parents. An undistinguished student, he left school at 16 to become a reporter on a local newspaper. Many of his best-known poems date from this time, including the much-quoted "And death shall have no dominion."
Though they go mad, they shall be sane. Though they sink through the sea, they shall rise again. Though lovers be lost, love shall not, and death shall have no dominion.
His early work inspired both praise and bafflement from critics, who were accustomed to the highly intellectual style of modernist poets like T.S. Eliot and W.H. Auden. His reputation continued to grow, however, driven by his accessibility and timeless subject matter.
He writes about the big themes, birth, sex, life, death and so on, and they're always today's news, as it were.
Thomas is often seen as a pastoral poet, but there's a deep sense of anxiety that permeates his work. It's a uniquely modern outlook that struck a chord with those who'd grown up in the shadow of World War II.
He was intensely aware of the invention of nuclear weapons, and that threat of apocalypse hangs over those final poems. Again, it's a double-edged presentation. It's pastoral, it's beautiful, but it's also very much aware in the background of the threat of the modern world.
Thomas also embraced modern technology, such as radio and audio recordings. His celebrated US reading tours had a profound influence on post-war American poetry and even paved the way for modern art forms like poetry slams and rap.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
As his literary reputation continued to grow, so did his notoriety. Thomas's marriage to Caitlin McNamara was tumultuous, while his prodigious drinking was becoming the stuff of legend. His death in New York at the age of 39 generated a compelling myth, which has inspired filmmakers and musicians from Igor Stravinsky to Nick Cave. Contrary to popular belief, however, Thomas didn't die of alcoholism.
He actually died because of medical malpractice, more or less in the way that Michael Jackson did, actually, an overdose of morphine prescribed by a doctor.
Scholars are keen to use this anniversary to disentangle the man from the myth. John Goodby says it's time to put aside Thomas's personal life and take a fresh look at his writing.
He's not somebody who's writing versified autobiography. These aren't diaries just chopped up and rhymed, as it were. They're pure poems, and they arise out of a love of language.
Even today, Thomas's writing seems startlingly original. 100 years after his birth, and more than 60 years after his untimely death, he remains one of the most read poets of the 20th century, and his popularity shows little sign of waning.
I think the interesting thing about Thomas is that he wrote poems that are both very popular and also very experimental, and is the only poet, really, in the 20th century who actually managed to do both at such a high level.